He's your voice of reason in the medical world. Dr. Fred Brown from Griffin Health talks to Melissa in the morning. Now on WICC 600 and 95.9, the voice of Connecticut.
Dr. Brown, we've got back to school, at least in our household, a week from today. And I know anxiety is on the rise for the kids and the parents, but how are you feeling?
I'm feeling well. I'm doing well. Welcome back. Yeah, it's crazy. I didn't realize it's another week, but I guess it is that time.
Oh, wow. It is. And actually, this top health story, I think, connects very nicely to this. COVID infections are apparently rising or likely rising in all 50 states. This is according to the CDC. Health experts saying the latest summer wave could peak in early September. Looking at wastewater data, it shows COVID levels have more than doubled since July, with the South and West currently seeing some of the highest levels nationwide. And so I was curious, especially when you talk about where COVID really thrives, which is inside, maybe windows not open. Do you have any concerns heading back to school in the next week for a lot of kids? What are your thoughts on this?
So I'm not, and I'll kind of be more definitive in that. I'm not concerned because I think COVID, we're still watching for it. We're still looking for it, but it's not the same. It's not the same virus that it was in 2020. It's more of the common cold. We just now look for it. So we're not really, I mean, there's, you know, the last few cases that I've seen from in my practice and at the hospital, it's really been minor illness. Nothing that's really even, I mean, a lot of times it was found with a patient that was here with something else. We just happened to notice that they, you know, either had a fever or they had, you know, or had some sniffles and ended up having COVID. So it's become, really has become the COVID cold. So I'm less concerned about it from the general population. I think you still need to be careful about the specific population. I mean, obviously, people who are at high risk have a lot of, you know, have other comorbidities, so have other illnesses that are there, have had transplants, have had cancers. Those are the ones that need to be really careful about any virus, including COVID.
So, okay. Obviously, the people with the underlying conditions, maybe the senior population, that's, you know, the typical, we, you know, that still stands true. I mean, yeah. I I'm also wondering, Dr. Brown, I don't know if it's just me, and obviously parts of the country are different than others, but I was recently, you had mentioned welcome back. So I was in California, and I noticed that we were at a convention that happened to be at Disneyland, and I noticed that there's a lot of...
I didn't disclose any of your information. Notice that.
No, I know. You're really good. That's a real friend right there. Get yourself a Dr. Brown who not only will give you medical advice, but also doesn't tell any of your deep, dark secrets. And I appreciate you for that, Dr. Brown. I really, really do. I noticed it's like a whole different world over there. There were not only, it felt like a lot of the workers at Disney went back to masking, but people walking around the parks outside were back to masking. Now, I don't know. Yeah. It was a little alarming considering my brother, sister, and I are all from the East Coast, and we're all like, what's going on? We're not seeing that here. I didn't know if that's because of what we just talked about, that COVID infections in parts of the country are high. I was really surprised by that, to be honest, and especially like what we've learned in the past 5 years, which is, you know, if you're outside, why are you masking? And you know, like I was honestly taken aback by it.
It's actually interesting because it may not be the reason why you think or the reason why we think.
Okay.
So the concern would be. I will. You're gonna actually find this very interesting. So the concerns about Disney and the history about Disney and in fact Disneyland is that it was not necessarily a major area for COVID. I mean, COVID was a concern. It was a major area for measles.
Was it?
Yes, it was. And there's been some major outbreaks in Disneyland related to measles. In fact, I'm actually just kind of pulling some facts.
Well, Mickey's not going to be happy with you. Are you uncovering something that Mickey Mouse, tried to bury?
This is news
to me. I didn't know that. Did you know that, Eric? Yeah. I didn't know that there were outbreaks.
January. Our last one was January of 2026.
Wow.
Yep.
No, that's news to me. But it it makes sense. You know, not that I'm like condoning it, but that doesn't surprise me, I guess. You know, you talk about the crowds and being in line, and a lot of times you are indoors and you got kids who don't cover their mouths.
International travelers.
So,
I was trying to look at, there was a major outbreak. There's been some major outbreaks. The last major outbreak in Disneyland was in 2014, 2015.
Wow.
Yeah, it was like 600 people.
Interesting. So now that's interesting. And again, I don't know if that's the case, like if you go to other theme parks. Like I don't know if you go to a Six Flags, if you go to a Lake Compounds. I don't know if we're seeing that in general where so that's so funny because I associate the masks with COVID. And it's probably measles, mumps, and rubella. Wow.
Yeah, measles, mumps, and rubella are your bigger concern, especially in a park like Disneyland. I don't think there's been. I mean, I'll have to see about Disney World. I'm sure there's been some, but I know Disneyland in particular has had them. And again, this may be. I'm not. This is completely theoretical. I would say this is a guess, but maybe, you know, again, in California, they may have been less likely to vaccinate in other areas of the country anyways.
Interesting.
So that's sort of one of those areas that, you know, California and Texas are sort of notorious for anti-vaxxers.
Got it. Huh. This is all fascinating to me. And so we're talking to Dr. Brown, and we were talking about COVID. I thought I had the story right, but apparently I did not. And we were talking about maybe, possibly, a measles issue. Huh. Fascinating. Dr. Fred Brown of Griffin Health is here, and he is our infectious disease expert on the show. He is our peace of mind in the medical field. And he's become a real dear friend of mine because he's been on this show with me since I got on the show a million years ago.
Absolutely.
It's incredible.
Yeah.
It really is.
It's great. We look forward to every Thursday.
Oh, I'm so glad you say that, and I really hope you don't eat your words in the next couple of seconds. I do.
Oh, God.
I feel like this could be where you're like, Melissa, I don't know if I could stay friends with you because I really debated this, Dr. Brown. I did. I really did. And I'm like, I love that you and I can have open conversation about things. You and I are of the same makeup where it's like, I don't want to talk about politics. I really don't. I don't want to go there at all. But we gotta talk about Fauci, like a little bit, not much, a little bit. And if you disconnect, I totally understand. But I also feel like that, you know why? It's not so much about what is true, what is not. I know that journal entries were posted, then they were taken down, then they were redacted. And so I'm not getting into the weeds on that. But I've had serious concerns brought to me from listeners, from questions about, are some of the COVID vaccines actually leading to more people having miscarriages? Is it all a lie about the distancing? I mean, so I don't know from your standpoint, what, if anything, you're comfortable talking about, but like anything that we can discuss in a manner regarding this, I would be appreciative. So the first, and
absolutely,
you know, like I'd say overwhelmingly, I've had questions about the vaccine and leading to miscarriages. That's probably one of the biggest ones I've heard about. And I didn't know if you could comment on that.
I can. And we could talk about sort of the concerns about a person and choices that were made, which is like the theme of politics over the last couple of years, right? It's one person can do something, you know, basically break the law and be a felon and be fine, and another can, you know, hide information that he deemed at that time to be probably, you know, safer not to get out. So from my standpoint, the concern that I would have is that when you have someone like Fauci, who is sort of the face of COVID, when you have him sort of taken down or found to be doing, potentially being accused of, and again, I'm going to be as careful as I can on this, you know, potentially being, you know, accused of things, Everything that he's said or everything that the government has said in during that period of time is deemed to be wrong. And then we start going into these tangents of, you know, the science was never there, that all these pieces were not there. I think the biggest piece that has been withheld or the concerns about it is hiding, you know, hiding where the origins are, not about how we treated it and how the care was and how the side effects are. Those are different in different areas. And I will tell you that looking at sort of the data, looking at sort of everything that was there and everything that we do, even with the aspect of miscarriage, it doesn't actually make sense from a scientific and clinical standpoint. It doesn't work that way. And so to know, to assume that everything was false because he didn't say where the origins were is sort of tough to say.
Well, right. So that, yeah, no, it does, because that's, and this is why I wanted to have the conversation, because again, even from a news standpoint, you know, I look at, you know, let's get even away for a second from health and let's talk about law enforcement and the absolute confusion and mayhem and hysteria surrounding speed cameras versus license plate readers.
Right.
They're very different things. So that's so bringing it back to this, I understand, and I'm not saying that what people's concerns are not valid. I mean, I'm not saying they're not valid at all. I want to make sure that's super clear.
Absolutely. No, everybody's concerns is always valid. I think it's, and I say this to my patients all the time, it's my job to give you the information that I know, and that makes the most sense, as we've talked about multiple times before, what makes the most sense with the science that we have, you know, and the knowledge that we have and the knowledge I have as a clinician.
I mean, and the other thing too, Dr. Brown, that always fascinated me was that there was one person, even though I would imagine there should have been a team responding to a global pandemic. It does feel like it is Fauci or bust. And again, I'm not saying I do or don't like the guy. That's not what I'm talking about. But I am saying that it does feel like one person was making calls. And maybe that wasn't the case. That also could be a perception. But I want to look at kind of the science here. So some of the questions of, you know, do you believe that the vaccines at all could have had an impact on people getting pregnant?
So no, I don't think that has anything to do with it.
Okay.
In all honesty, and again, I think that's said. You have to take that as a clinician's opinion.
That's why I'm asking. Yeah, no, yeah. I'd rather take it from the doctors.
And listen, I will tell you, and I can. I know we don't have a lot of time. The mechanism of action of a vaccine has nothing to do with any of that. The mechanism of action, in particular, the mRNA vaccines that were used, don't even go into the central processing area of the brain. It never goes into the cell's nucleus. It always works in the outside of it. So to say that there's going to be a mutation within the central portion of it just doesn't make a lot of sense. All it's doing is activating the immune system. The immune system gets a exposure to a protein. That protein is then exposed on the cells, and then our immune systems are activated. That's it. And our body does this every day, every day. It's doing it right now, Melissa. So right now we are taking in proteins that we may have not seen or may have not experienced. It happens a lot more in children, but these are proteins that we're now we are presenting to our immune system. Our immune system then in turn is actually then fighting off that infection. That's how we survive.
And the other thing, too, that I remember learning from you early on, Dr. Brown, in the pandemic is the mRNA that has been around since the 90s, right?
Yes, it just hasn't been stabilized enough until modern science we were able to stabilize it. So, yes, it's actually probably even a better vaccine. So, you know, the vaccines that we use currently are, you know, good and very stable. The mRNA vaccine is more effective because it is purified. It's essentially saying, okay, this is the protein that's there. It is only a protein that is actually produced. Essentially, it's a protein that we are telling the body to make and a protein that is then exposed by us to activate our immune system.
And as you mentioned, Dr. Brown, I know this was a very loaded topic, certainly.
Yes.
And maybe we can, you know, dive into some of the other. Like I said, I've had a lot of questions ever since this all came to fruition this summer. And maybe we kind of sift through and if you're open to continuing the conversation. Again, I know that this is, I'm really not trying to get into politics with this, but I do think it's important in the
misinformation. I agree with you.
Yeah.
No, I agree with you. And I think there's two major issues about this because, you know, it sort of seems like, you know, if we think now, you know, 6 years later, you know, starting that 2020, 6 years later, we now think that there wasn't a COVID, and that's kind of concerning.
But that's what I mean.
We need to learn from the past,
right?
Not ignore it,
right?
You know, and this has been going on. You know, we initially developed the first vaccine in 1796. 1796, Jenner developed the first smallpox vaccine.
Mm.
So this is not something that's, you know, a 2020 thing. This is just an advancement that we've seen throughout the years.
Yeah. Well, if you are open to continuing, and like I said, we can kind of map through and I could send you some of the concerns that I've gotten from WICC listeners. Maybe we continue that, you know, when you come back on the show next week.
I would be happy to.
That's awesome. I appreciate you, Dr. Brown. Thank you so much for always giving us the time, and we will continue the conversation next week.